about time,
right,
that we finally see a good Christmas movie.
Right. Well, I mean, it's been when did Gremlins come out? 1985?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Well, at least the first good Christmas horror film. Like, because most of the ones that everybody knows about, they're not so good.
No.
Silent Night, Deadly Garbage Night. Garbage Day.
Garbage Silent Night, Day. Deadly Night 2. Garbage yeah. Day.
Black Christmas, not a big fan.
Yeah, not me either.
Not even the original?
No. I'm actually still haven't seen the original, which I hear is really good, but I've never gotten around to that one.
Well, the remake is
the remake is terrible.
Dismal.
Yeah. But Krampus, on the other hand.
Well, certainly is not.
Let's face it, hipsters. Come sure, on, that's sure, the Krampus is sure. popular because of hipsters, and that's
anti-culture.
Fun.
Yeah,
we should thank hipsters for that because Krampus is fucking cool.
No, I think if anything,
we should thank the German people.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. It took hipsters in America to go look at this thing going on in Germany.
Oh yeah,
fucking awesome.
Thousands of years later. Yeah,
yeah.
If 10 years of hipsters has yielded Krampus, I'd say they broke even. That's right.
Fair enough. Krampus, of course, is the dark shadow of Santa Claus. Right. There's many different interpretations of him in folklore, usually viewed as a sort of goat, like giant goat on two legs, sure. devilish figure. This movie certainly has a slightly different interpretation, but one that I felt ultimately fits what he's supposed to be in the heart of him better.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's thanks to Weta Workshop, who are the true stars of this
movie.
Very
true. Very true.
Their creature designs are so fucking spooky.
Oh, man.
Like, I think the Jack in the Box is going to give me nightmares.
Yeah, especially when you end up seeing what that Jack in the Box does to people.
Yes. The story here follows a suburban family somewhere, I don't think they ever say, but somewhere clearly where it gets fucking cold.
Yeah.
Well, not the suburbs, but I mean like part of the country.
Right.
So, you know, Minnesota or something. I don't know.
Probably not.
With Adam Scott as the dad, Toni Collette as the mom. They've got a teenage daughter, Beth. I don't know how old the kid is. Maybe
young-ish.
12.
Maybe.
Yeah. Max. Okay. And then they've got family coming in. So right. her sister, played by Alison Tolman.
Yes.
Who was so great on Fargo, by the way.
Oh, man.
Yeah. For season one of Fargo. She plays her sister with her husband, David Koechner. Their kids, who are just, let's just...
Inbred.
Who, yeah.
Sure.
Who
oh, like, they could be.
Body
yeah.
count. Look at them.
Yeah,
body
they're
count.
Like leftovers from National Lampoon's Vacation, like inbred
yeah.
family.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're horrible. And then their aunt, Dorothy, played by Conchata Ferrell. The name may not sound familiar, but trust me, you've seen her in a billion things.
And she is awesome in this movie.
Yeah.
Every word she says is like, that is, I couldn't stop laughing.
You are the most horrible person at any family reunion. And it's funny getting to watch it happen to someone else.
Yep.
And then there's the grandmother there as well, was Adam Scott's mom, who's actually, for some reason, speaks German all throughout the film except once, and then goes back right back to speaking German again. You're like,
well, she has to explain the Jans. Jans doesn't want to have to read subtitles time, right?
Yeah. And ultimately what happens is that the little boy who's the... But, you know, kind of the protagonist, not completely, not to the extent that in
he's
a lot of horror films. Yeah, sort of. He's the...
In a way.
I mean, like, the movie doesn't follow his point of view dominantly, but it does, the plot does center around him anyway, where he's the one kid who still believes in the spirit of Christmas, even if he acknowledges that Santa probably isn't real, but he's still... But wants to believe. He's Fox Mulder with the poster on his wall, but with Santa instead of a UFO.
Right.
And he just... has it up to here during the family reunion, would like, you know, during Christmas, which anybody would, because they're awful, awful people, and goes upstairs and rips up his letter to Santa and throws it out the window, which prompts the arrival of that cloud from Poltergeist to come in over the horizon and Krampus and his minions to take over the whole neighborhood. And I think if I have my big problem with this film is just that it's a bit of a slog getting to the point before the Krampus actually and all the creatures start showing up.
Yeah. I felt actually about that. I was surprised how quickly the stakes were raised.
Yeah. I agree.
I feel like the movie starts and it goes, here's a blizzard. And then you get your first character death. Like, and not only that, but I felt like that the first character that, you know, vanishes from the screen, I was surprised that it was that character.
Yeah, exactly.
And that it was that quick.
Mm-hmm.
That there was no... I mean, you kind of get the, is that the Krampus? And then suddenly the first person's gone.
Yeah.
And I mean, at that point,
I felt a little disappointingly an off-screen death, but later you find out why.
Sure. Yeah. And I felt like that was something that was paid off fairly well, because that definitely involves a lot of the, you know, there's a background to the Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
starts there, and you go, I don't really know what I saw, but I'm not comfortable.
No.
And then later you get the Adam Scott line that just resonates exactly yeah. where you are.
Where yeah. you would react if you just saw that fucking thing.
Yeah. But I feel like, also speaking about that line, I don't feel like there's really any comedy until right there.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like the comedy that's there is inherent in Schadenfreude.
Uh-huh.
It's not yeah. really jokes. It's going, Jesus Christ, this fucking family.
Yeah.
Or the sure. second sure. half of the other, you know, the yeah. visiting family. You're like, they're so bad. There's a point where you're like, okay, now I'm getting tired of like listening to them just abuse the shit mm-hmm. out of
them. Yeah, and just to mention, David Keckner's the uncle. So there you go. Yeah. I mean, right. that can yeah. be pretty annoying
right.
yeah.
by itself.
Yeah, no, that's true. David Keckner is like one of those guys who, when he's used well, he's mm-hmm. one of the best things in the movie.
Yeah.
Like in Cheap Thrills,
yes.
for instance,
yeah,
where he's
exactly.
like the wow.
Or in
that
Piranha
movie.
3DD.
Oh, Jesus. No. I'm not willing to go there with you, Mike. but anyway, for me, I didn't really feel like this film didn't start going until they go up into the, like, really going until they get into the attic.
Interesting.
When they, which is already well into the horror starting, but I was still like, okay, you're just teasing me with stuff. You're doing a lot of off-screen stuff, and I'm still not really taken with it. It's not till the Weta designs are revealed and you see just how fucking nightmare fuel shit is
yeah.
that I was like, okay, now I'm with this movie.
I felt like everything leading up to the attic was this tense slow burn
mm-hmm.
that made me just the feeling of dread that Krampus instills in you when you're watching the movie. By the time you see what everybody's afraid of, you're already miserable.
Yeah.
It's you get to the attic and it starts showing you all the things that have been making this hell, and you just, I mean, at that point I'm just first off ecstatic that it pays off, because the don't show the monster and then showing the monster so often
fails. All practical effects and goddamn do they.
But
except for the gingerbread men, which
gingerbread
men,
yeah.
which didn't really look all that great. But they're all CG.
I think they could get away with that because they were used for comedic effect.
No, you're
totally
right.
Agree.
You're right. Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
agree.
And so, like, you know, even the CGI, like when we first see Krampus and when he's jumping from house to house, they're using CGI for that, but the thing is, it's in film in the dark, and CGI works best when it's in the dark.
Yeah.
I think that works well. I mean, that's what, I forget, Michael Dougherty directed this, and
yeah.
you know, that's what when he does use CGI, he either uses it, you know, for when it's in the dark, or for comedic effect, and I think he can get away with that. And then he can show off all the practical effects,
yeah.
and all those look great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. The same director who did Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat,
so
yeah.
There's a moment in this one, we were talking about this
yep.
earlier today, where, like, they mentioned the David Ketcher, is like, when they tell the story of the Krampus, David Ketcher is like, oh, whatever, what next thing you're be like, tell me there's evil Easter Bunny,
yeah.
and we're like, ah, it's going to be this
yeah,
director's
be
next
the third
film.
One. I want to see that. I thought about that after you and I had talked about it, how I would be okay if he just kind of picks four or five holidays and then just makes a cycle,
just
starts doing sequels,
back
gets
beginning.
Back to Halloween, does Trick or Treat 2, Krampus 2, just
which
does
another
lap.
Supposedly Trick or Treat 2 is in development, but
yeah.
I've been hearing that for like 2 years.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
what the fuck? I hear it's filming.
It's one of those things that when it drops, I'll be ecstatic, but until then, I don't believe it's happening.
Yeah,
kind of like the Green Inferno.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that
they
is
don't need to see
yeah.
that.
I know.
I think it's on Netflix.
But I didn't believe
sure.
the Green Inferno was happening until the opening credits in the theater.
Yeah.
Before that, I was like, this is not really coming
and
out.
And happening is a relative term if you're talking in the 60s sort of way. I wouldn't call the Green Inferno a happening. More like a don't watch it.
I disagree. Disagree.
I can't stand Eli Roth.
No, disagree.
With me.
Hard disagree.
I know. You're one of the many
I'm one
people
of those. I'm one
who
of those.
Goes, I love Eli Roth, he just doesn't appeal to me.
I get it.
Yeah.
Have you seen Knock Knock?
No,
don't.
And I don't want
don't.
To.
You don't like Eli Roth, don't.
But I do love this director so far, because two
man.
In a row, I don't think Krampus is quite as good as Trick or Treat, but it earns so many extra points by having those just, like,
yeah.
incredible FX.
Yeah.
And for having the balls to make you think this is going to give it the dumbest, most saccharine ending ever.
Yeah.
Only to rip that out from under you in a really clever Twilight Zone sort of way.
Well, I kind of respect...
In a Cemetery Man sort of way.
Yeah, in a Cemetery Man, you're right.
I respect Doherty's, you know, he really sticks to, like, for the most part, some of the mythology surrounding Krampus, where he is a spirit or a creature that punishes children. And it's like, you could, you know, cry or whatever. You'd be like, oh, I feel bad. It's like, no, he's still going to punish you no matter what. And I appreciated that.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
At the end,
so. And just when you finally get... I mean, they earn it, though. When you finally get the close-up of what Krampus actually looks like, you're like, that's so fucked up.
Yeah.
That really is like zombie Santa Claus possessed by the devil from The Exorcist. Yeah. hey, let's go to final thoughts, Michael.
I mean, this movie, it's one of those... So, having seen Trick or Treat, love Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
And when the guy who does Trick or Treat comes out with his second movie, my thoughts are either you lucked out with Trick or Treat or you are an incredibly talented filmmaker making horrible holiday movies.
Everybody's got to have their niche.
And so, you know, I was really excited for Krampus, but I definitely was trying not to get my hopes up.
Sure.
And I can't exactly remember the moment at the beginning where I let my guard down and accepted that this was going to be enjoyable just to the same degree that Trick or Treat was. But it's early. And then, like I said, the feeling of dread creeps in. I keep seeing that this is a comedy horror, but I don't remember laughing to the point that overshadowed the fact that I was terrified.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of comedy horror movies definitely will err on the side of like a Deathgasm, where it's really funny, but also... Yeah,
totally absurd.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's like the comedy here is, like we said earlier, it's Schadenfreude at first, and then later, it's not even really comedy.
It's not relief.
That these things are like like Christmas toys in hell.
Yeah.
It just is that much more twisted.
Right.
But I suppose in marketing it, they were like, oh, well, that's funny, right? Look at the evil Jack in the
never,
box.
I never feel the relief of the comic relief moments.
Yeah.
I just feel... I basically see the joke, acknowledge the joke, laugh at the joke, and go back to feeling terrible, which is something I love about the movie.
Yeah.
The fact that it's unrelentingly dark when dealing with Christmas subject matter is one of the strongest aspects about Krampus for me.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, it is definitely not as classic as Trick or Treat instantly was. But it's definitely going into the Christmas rotation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally going
Hands
into the Christmas
down.
Rotation.
I mean, definitely probably in my top three alt Christmas movies that I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and give it 9 out of 10 chained up gingerbread.
Herman.
You know, I was really looking forward to this film, and I definitely wasn't disappointed when I saw it. I think, you know, Michael Doherty clearly is a very smart filmmaker. I'm disappointed he's only managed to do two films, especially with Trick or Treat, which I think when it was initially released, it hardly was released in any theaters. It was poorly marketed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful that this film was marketed well and that it's doing well. It's the second, I think, in the box office right now, so that's exciting. I think, to me, I guess I wasn't as scared as maybe I wanted to be. I was laughing most of the time. I don't know what that says about me. But I don't know. I really appreciated both the CGI effects and obviously all of the practical effects. I mean, they're brilliant. There's also one other thing I wanted to bring up. There's this really, I think, beautiful animated segment.
Oh, yeah.
Of the film.
That's
where it
yeah.
appeals back to the old school Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it is CG, it's made to look like it's the stop-motion animated stuff.
Yeah, and it's about the grandmother telling a tale about Krampus to the family. I just thought it was very beautiful, and I really appreciate that. I didn't expect that at all. I'm trying to think of any other complaints. I mean, I guess I wasn't bored I didn't think that the film took its time to get going. I appreciate the fact that it was like, okay, we're going to introduce the family and how dysfunctional they are. I like that kind of stuff like that and just how awful these people are, maybe where you don't really care what happens to them later on.
Dennis Leary to show up and just start screaming at everybody.
That's definitely in my top five as well.
But I mean, I really like that. And then, you know, the ending I thought was very satisfying, especially when I was worried. You know, don't worry that anyone is, you start rolling your eyes, you know, 5 minutes before the credits roll. Don't worry.
Yeah, stay in your seat.
Stay in your seat, yeah.
Don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, I'd have to give this. And I also think that this is probably, to me, it's just below Gremlins in terms of a, mm-hmm. you know, Christmas horror comedy, whatever you want to consider. I think it's just below. Like, it's very close second. Maybe even on the same level a few years later. But for right now, I'm going to give this 9.5 mutilated gingerbread men.
Picking, you know, on those guys.
I guess for me, like, I didn't like it as much as you guys. I still really enjoyed it. But I had a lot of problem with the fact that I thought a lot of the there were a lot of attempts to do humor that were not funny. There was a lot of moments that clearly they thought stuff was funny, and it just wasn't funny. It just fell flat. And I was like, I know Patton Oswalt's a huge fan of Trick or Treat. You couldn't have called him to come in and do some punch-up on the script? Because I felt like this movie would have been an all-time classic with some genuinely good guffaws, especially in the first third and the last third when you really need it. Like, let the tension build slowly in the middle. You know, the first third is where you're like, okay, this is more of a goofy Christmas comedy with little touches of, like, what's to come. And then in the last third, only when you really, really, really need a break of relief from how intense it gets. But ultimately, I thought it was a little unbalanced. David Koechner gets to the point where he's more than just a little bit irritating on screen as his conservative gun nut character. Maybe that's just my own personal, like, just getting sick of seeing those people on Facebook, much less in my movies. But I always enjoy Adam Scott, you know, who always plays the eternally nice guy here, who even gets to be kind of a badass at moments. Toni Collette is honestly not given a hell of a lot to do.
Agreed.
She's just the overworked mother.
Yeah. Which is another thing. It's like there's none of the female characters in here are really anything, you know, get anything really to do other than sit in the background and make snide comments about stuff or look exhausted. Sure. But once again, I keep coming back to how great those creature designs is, how strong the third act of this film is. It really is. It's genuinely scary. Mm-hmm. It's genuinely, like, kind of absurdly funny for a moment here and there, and has just, I think, a pitch-perfect ending. Just nails it in the perfect way to make you feel slightly queasy when the more you think about it. I give this 7.5 out of 10 cherished Christmas memories, now forever blackened, perversely twisted beyond repair.
Wow. All right. Yeah, that's
quite a rating.
Pretty accurate for this one.